What more do you want from me?
I don't want peace. I want problems, always.
The hunt is on, and you're the prey.
For some reason in our community, we have convinced ourselves that a baby is better than marriage. How are you ready to be a mom, but you're not ready to be a wife? More and more that baby showers are more prevalent in the Black community. We put a lot of emphasis on baby showers. We spend tens of thousands of dollars on these baby showers, fireworks and this and that, and it's almost like a mini wedding.
Something that I've noticed, and I was talking to my husband about this, just within the last 10-15 years, you've had this huge influx of just baby celebrations. You got gender reveal, you got baby shower, you have baby sprinkles, you have the baby shoot, you have the baby moon. And then that's not even to mention like all the different special beauty treatments and stuff you can get if you're pregnant. Prenatal massages, prenatal facials. There's a whole industry around a woman who's just pregnant, who's having a baby. And I'm not necessarily mad at it, but I do find it particularly fascinating that it's really within the last probably 15 or so years that you've seen it skyrocket at the same time that we see marriages declining. And we see more solo dates, more women kind of saying I do to themselves, this whole talk of sologamy. And so my personal opinion is that in lieu of women not getting married, they still want the celebration. They still want the feeling of being celebrated. They still want the feeling of love. They still want the feeling of all the excitement that goes into having the wedding day, planning the wedding day, planning the big event. And so if you can't get that with a man, you can still get that with a baby. So I do think that's what we're starting to see, because there's also in the mind of women, there's also this idea that maybe they may get married, maybe they won't get married, or maybe they don't even want marriage. Maybe they fear marriage, but they want to have a baby, right? That's something they're secure about. So there's all these changing, pervading beliefs and ideas around marriage to begin with that, again, I think this is why, quite frankly, there's probably a little bit more money or security right now in having babies, despite the fact that the birth rate is going down. So take that into consideration. But I'm saying in theory, one thing about having babies is that you need that in order to, for the human population to continue. So to a certain extent, that's something that's never going to die unless you have a dystopian point of view and believe that androids are going to take over people. Humans are just going to stop procreating altogether. But I don't think that's going to happen. Let's continue.
Every single time we're at these baby showers, either the woman is by herself and she's doing it alone, or she's there with the guy, but they're not married.
Also, notice this, because connect what she's talking about. You got a lot more baby showers in the Black community than weddings. Also connect how many single mother crash outs online that you've seen, or that I've seen, but I am seeing. Generally single mothers who are crashing out. And not like crashing out, I mean, not just like, oh man, I'm just having a hard week. Like, I just, you know, I need to vent. Baby was this, he wasn't crying, he had colic or whatever. Not just kind of like normal mommy stuff that you go through, but being like completely regret motherhood. Wish could have aborted the baby. Don't even want to be a mom. Completely at that point, like questioning their whole existence, like complete crash outs. I've seen that almost exclusively with single moms. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but I have not seen moms who are married and committed relationships, happily married, being like, I regret having this child. I shouldn't have been a mom. I'm not seeing that. When I'm seeing women who are really online crashing out in tears, talking about they wish it would have had abortion, they don't have kids, it is 100% of the videos that I've seen have been single moms. So just co-opt that. That's what I'm saying.
Typically the case. It's very rare that I see these extravagant baby showers between married couples. For some reason in our community, we have convinced ourselves that a baby is better than marriage. Like, it's okay to have a baby with your boyfriend. It's okay to have a lifelong commitment with your boyfriend. But, you know, you have to be prepared for marriage. You have to be in the right mind state for marriage. You have to be financially ready for marriage, when that couldn't be further from the truth. A baby is going to be around for the rest.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's completely backwards. I think it's completely backwards that we exist in a culture where somehow women are convinced that having a baby is like not a big deal and it's not going to impact the rest of your life. Somehow it's a safer commitment and a safer thing to do than marrying somebody, making a commitment to somebody, which is essentially saying, I'm going to build life with you so that we can create an environment in which we can actually bring in a child and support each other. Somehow ladies have convinced themselves that creating a child in an environment without the safety of a committed relationship, without the safety of a marriage, without even necessarily the safety of a family, that somehow is better and safer and less commitment and less propensity to get your heart broken than actually doing it within the context of a committed marriage. I don't understand that. I understand there's a million and one horror stories about marriages going bad. I understand that. For every million and one stories about marriages going bad, there are an equal amount of stories, if not more stories, of marriages that are actually going good. Y'all just don't hear about it, because those stories that are going good, they may be kind of boring. They're fulfilling to live, but no one wants to really hear. You know, it's not like breaking news. Soccer mom goes, picks up kids, makes cookies, you know, that evening, and everyone goes to bed on time, and her and the husband talk and watch television. Like, no one wants to see that. No one wants to see the stories of families who are living functionally and healthy. That's not exciting. What's exciting is baby mama breaks up with baby daddy, found him cheating with the next door neighbors, and then found out he had an addiction to corn, and then he was also cross-dressing. Like, you know what I mean? Just whatever crazy story that y'all don't think of, that's what people want to focus on. And that's now what ladies, you know, you ingest enough of that, and you think, it's safer for me to raise this child without support than it is to raise this child house with the support. That I don't understand. I don't understand. I think it's a sickness. I also think it's a generational curse, generational pattern, however you want to put it. If you had a cycle of that happening in your family, then you think that it's normal. It doesn't register to you that there actually might be a more productive way of doing things. And then you got people online and life, you have culture telling you it really doesn't matter. And so you don't see it as a deficit until you see single moms going online crashing on talking about, I don't have community. I'm stressed out all the time. I should have not had this child because why didn't nobody tell me that having a child by myself was going to be hard? You know what I mean? Until you see that, then maybe you start to question. But they oftentimes hide that. They oftentimes hide that part.
Community is going to be around for the rest of your life. You're going to be connected to that other parent for the rest of your life. And not just you don't want to, you're going to be connected because when you look at your baby, it's going to look like the other person. You're going to be connected. So I don't think that we're afraid of commitment. It's just this weird brainwashing in our community to kind of keep families split, to keep broken homes going. Like, I feel like it's a whole another conspiracy behind that, but that has to stop. Stop spending money on these baby showers and you're not married. Stop having babies if you're not even ready to be married.
That's a crazy thing to me. So it's like, you're not sure whether or not you want to make a lifetime commitment with this person, yet and still you make a lifetime commitment with this person through creating a child. That's to me where like the logic is, literally, because you have later, she's like, I'm not sure if I want to be married, but then you created a whole human with him. That is a lifetime commitment, period. That person is somehow always going to be involved in your life. I mean, unless they end up being a deadbeat and run off or whatever, or you end up being crazy and try to keep him from your child. But I'm like, even yet and still, even if you try to do that, like she said, the DNA, you may look at the baby and that reminds you of that relationship, reminds you of that human being. Even the traits of the boy or the girl are going to remind you of that person. Like, you can't really get away with it. If you're creating a human being, that is a lifetime commitment. So why not go through the process to ensure that if you're making a lifetime commitment, it's with somebody that you actually feel like you could do life with? Like, to me, that just makes too much sense. But what do I know?
Are you ready to be a mom, but you're not ready to be a wife?
Right, that part.
Like, my thing is, you can always opt out of a marriage. You cannot opt out of parenthood. That is not something you can opt out of.
And I'm not saying you should opt out of marriage. I mean, technically she is right. Parenthood is for all the, I don't want to make a lifetime commitment. And yet you make literally one of the most biggest lifetime commitments ever. That's why I'm just like, I agree with her. It's to me, it's weird logic. I think a lot of it is just pattern. Things that people have accepted as true. They've seen it. They've experienced it themselves. So it doesn't register as, hey, this may not be the best way of doing things, but it's not. Anyways, what do y'all think about this whole thing? What do y'all think about this video? Do you agree? Do you disagree? Let me know your thoughts down in the comment section. Also, if you haven't already, be sure to follow me on Substack. Check me out on channel membership. And thank you so much for listening if you've gotten this far. And we'll talk later, okay? Bye.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones. I am Professor Carl Tone Jones, and I appreciate you pulling up for another edition of Philly Fridays, rocking out live from the 215 on Fed Life Station at fedlifestation.com. You can also catch us on all of your different streaming apps. Find our podcast at The True Podcast. Excuse me, the True Stories Podcast Network, the True Stories Podcast Network. All right. And as y'all already know, we be in here locked and loaded and ready to go. So you can't leave. All right. So shout out to Shay Sharday, who provided us with our first segment of the broadcast. And I think she hit on some very important topics that or talking points that we tend to overlook in the community. The lack of together homes, unbroken families, and the attention seeking that comes from, you know, this whole concept of single parenting, unwed mothers, and so forth in the Black community. And as y'all know, I use that word community lightly. But you got to think about it for a second. Why is it so common that we have these elaborate birthdays, elaborate celebrations in terms of like all these pageants in regards to child, you know, when a child is about to be born, and but yet and still there's this aggressive push against marriage. There's an aggressive push against being a complete family. And this isn't a new phenomenon. This phenomenon is going back. It's probably going back a couple centuries in the black community. Like, you can literally take this off the plantation, this mindset and this concept. And there's, you know, there's books, there's studies on this. So I don't feel like getting to all that, but just know that this is not a new phenomenon. Y'all have often heard me refer to a group, a classroom full of pregnant and single mothers and in high school in Newark, New Jersey, right? In the documentary that I've often played, and it talks about this particular situation. So that's why, you know, when I talk to the brothers, man, I just want y'all to know, man, this is what you're going, you need, first of all, you need to understand what you're going up against, you know. And this channel is pro-black family, but at the same time, it is also pro-black man, because black men need a place too that they can come to and feel supported unapologetically, where you don't have to voice your concerns and then somebody will say, and vice versa, you know? It's we don't have to go through all that over here. So for those of you who may be first-time listeners, welcome to Office Hour. And I want, you know, just to, and I got a lot going on. Before I get into what I really wanted to talk about, like, before I get into all that, I want to play something real quick. This is, as we know, there's a war going on in the Middle East that has global ramifications. And it's the war between America and Iran, and Israel is involved. In fact, this is actually Israel's war, if we're going to be honest about it. And it's amazing to me that now, finally, you can call out Zionism. You can call out the Zionists. You can call out Israel for war crimes and genocide in the Western Bank area over there, as well as in Palestine. You can call them out for, you know, just some of the most wicked acts known to man in regards to military operations. You can call them out for terrorism, for expanding their borders, you know, but the terrorists are not called terrorists, right? They're called settlers, right? So you have a lot of what you call Israeli settlers as they continue to expand on this greater Israel project, right? So where they look to have full dominion and domination over the Middle East region, which is insane when you're the smallest country over there. Country about the size of New Jersey, 9 million strong. And now that they have what is called an MOU, right? What is called between the United States and Iran. And so an MOU is a moratorium, I think it's a moratorium of understanding. In other words, a moratorium, of understanding, which means basically this document states that we're going to negotiate an end to the war. So now during this time, there's supposed to be a 60-day ceasefire, for which Iran has agreed. But part of the deal is that Israel stops bombing in Lebanon, specifically Beirut. But Israel, now knowing that they're not going to get what they wanted out of this war, which was the dismantling and the total destruction of Iran, now they're doing some real petty shit. So I want y'all to check out Donald Trump and some of the things he's had to say, because he's under a lot of pressure. So check this out.
Between Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu is growing wider. The U.S. president has laid into Israel's prime minister in front of G7 leaders in France. And tonight, the Iran peace deal is hanging by a thread.
The G7 family and friends photo. Donald Trump confused about where to go, still reeling from the fallout of his latest feud, this time with Benjamin Netanyahu.
Now, I'm not happy with the way Israel has handled themselves with Lebanon and with Hezbollah.
Blaming the Israeli prime minister for global unrest and telling Netanyahu to be more responsible with Lebanon, Israel refusing to remove its troops in line with the Iran peace deal.
Without the United States, there would be no Israel. Without me, there would be no Israel. And you don't have to knock down an apartment house every time you're looking for somebody.
And this is why the US president face to face with the Gulf nations bearing the brunt of Iran's retaliation, heaping praise on Middle East leaders, praise they returned.
You'll always be my friend. Highly respected people, great people.
I think you took the right decision.
Europe has big questions for the US president, but here in the French Alps, some of the world's most powerful people are doing everything they can to keep Donald Trump happy.
And yeah, they're over there kissing his ass right now because, you know, there's a lot going on in terms of they still need things from America. America still, no matter, even though they lost the war, and America hasn't really won a war since World War II, by the way, they still have, this country still has the most powerful military in the world, which is why, you know, China and Russia is slow to sort of exude some level of controls or dominance, even though these politicians keep levying sanctions on those countries. So, but long story short, man, I talk about this because it's important that we know the world events. One of the biggest reasons that Donald Trump had to end this war was because Iran has locked up this middle passage that actually crosses through them, Saudi Arabia, and the country of Oman. It's called the Strait of Hormuz. And in the Strait of Hormuz, it's a small section. It's like, you know, but it's like 23 miles long or 23 miles wide. But that's where 20% of the world's oil flows through. So in addition to 20% of the world's oil, you have 30% of the world's food stocks. You have about 25% of the world's chemicals that are utilized for superconductor microchips that are used in Taiwan, that are in all of the smart devices that we use. They have a lot of earth minerals, special minerals that also are utilized for smart technology. And because the world is basically dependent on smart technology, you know, a lot of those things are going to go up in price. And what else is going to go up in price? Something else is going up in price. You know, you probably already noticed it at the pump, but I don't know if y'all noticed it at the groceries, you know, at the grocer, where the price of food has gone up dramatically. One day my sister was calling me like, yo, can you believe a pack of beef bologna is $10? For 1 pound pack of beef bologna. You know, now that's, you know, if a 10 pound pack of beef bologna is, well, how much is steak? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I just wanted to bring y'all abreast to that. Now, there's also some other things going on, man, that some wild things happening. There was a young lady who applied for, well, you know what? I'm going to let the video, and shout out to Anton Daniels for recapping this. You know, I'm not sure if we're going to get into what he said in response to it, but I want y'all to hear this response.
I'm an Uber driver, and I just had this young lady get out of my car, and I figured I needed to pass this information on. I just picked her up from Chick-fil-A, and it was her first day, and she was super excited. She had been looking for a job. She really wanted to work there. She was younger, and but she got in the car, and it looked like she had been crying. And, you know, I don't want to pry. Like, if you want to talk about it, you can, but, you know, I'm just trying to take you where you got to go, right? So she was like, yeah, today was my first day, and they let me go. And I was just like, okay, did they give you a reason? Because I used to work in HR for years, and I used to be a recruiter, so I was just, you know, wondering, you know. And she was Black, so, I was just like, hey, you know, what was the reason? And she was just like, well, when I got there, they pulled me into the office, and it was the manager, and it was the GM or whatever, like, at that location. And she was like, they were like, are you aware of this particular company's values? And she was just like, yeah, I'm like, you're a Christian organization. He was like, it's not about being a Christian organization. We're talking about, like, character, morals, integrity, things like that. We're just talking about it as a business standpoint, not necessarily a Christian business or, you know, organization. So she was just like, well, yeah. And he was just like, well, we wanted to show you this. Pulled his phone out and showed her her own video. That was, I don't know if it was on Instagram or TikTok. And in the video, she was going on a rant and a rave about how she hated white people.
I tell y'all this all the time. I talk about it all the time. I go into it all the time. And I keep trying to tell y'all, even if it's just a fast food restaurant, even if it's just a Chick-fil-A, if they're checking on a Chick-fil-A, then what do you think is happening throughout the industry and these organizations for these major companies that have the resources to be able to vet through who you are in every aspect of your life?
And this speaks to the recklessness that when somebody is really unbound, right? When there's no foundational values, there's no boundaries you grow up with, then people feel free. And when you have that whole notion that there's no consequences to your actions, a lot of people, you'd be surprised at what a lot of people feel like they can get away with. And this is when you can, you know, you can teach somebody or you can talk to them till you're blue in the face, but, you know, reality will be the greatest teacher. And also it will provide the greatest consequences for your actions. And I think that's something that we really need to drive home is social media is out there for everybody. You sign up, when you sign up to join a social media site, you sign up for third party sharing. That means when these companies go in to investigate your accounts, it doesn't matter if you think it's private. It doesn't matter if you think it's just for your certain friend group. If it's just for people you want to identify who can see it. The bottom line is y'all need to get some friends. Y'all need to get some confidants for which y'all can actually have these vent sessions and things of that nature. And you're out there talking about you hate this and you hate that. You know, first of all, it's unproductive. And secondly, you know, who does it benefit for you to be online? And what are you trying to feed? So a lot of people try to feed their emotions and their egos. And what ends up happening is by the time you end up doing something like that, you end up creating circumstances and situations for yourselves that put you in the blender. Now, not only Chick-fil-A's looking that up, but now damn near everybody else that she would probably apply for a job for is doing that. She's going to have to probably go off and scrub that video off the internet. So that's just another, you know, circumstance. But check this out, you know, in regards to situations and circumstances, right? Because it doesn't just happen to young ladies, right? This is what happened when you tell the world you don't need men, especially when you tell the world you don't need black men. This is one of the things, this is one of the inbred consequences of those circumstances. Check this out.
Yeah. Check this out.
My question is, where are the men? Okay. And I'm married, okay, but my sister, y'all, is gorgeous. Two beautiful sisters, smart, educated, wants to be married. And the women in my church, our church is full of beautiful Christian saved women. And I'm not just saying beautiful.
And first of all, I don't believe women when they call other women beautiful. I'm just going to put that out there. Women will lie. Women will tell anybody, no matter what you are, you rate yourself a 10, boo-boo. You rate... Fuck out of here. Check. I'm just saying.
As passing, I mean, physically pretty and smart and educated, well-spoken. They don't have the attitude, I don't need no man. None of that is going on. These women want to be married. And I'm like, where are the men? And so I'm going to talk about this more later, but where are the men at? Where are y'all? Okay, white girls, y'all chime in too. This I'm not just talking about black men. I mean men. Okay, good old country boys, the white boys with the dirty hands that they got the pan sagging because they fixing, you know, under your sink or changing the oil in your car. Good old dirty white boys is just working hard at the feed store, working hard. my brothers that are working at McDonald's, Burger King, Brahms, KFC, just working hard behind the counter.
Now, first of all, I'm really insulted by this shit. Why is it that white boys get to do some type of job that requires a skill, but you're going to throw brothers behind the counter and they're out there greasing, you know, getting greasy, but their grease is from fries, the fry grease and burgers. Yo, we got to, you know, this little subtle jabs is always out there for black men. And I'm just not going for it, man. I'm just done with that.
Even some that are professional. You know, my Hispanic brothers, where are y'all at? Are y'all at Home Depot? Are you hanging out at Walmart Supercenter? Where are you?
Yeah. Check this out.
And so Walmart, yo, yeah, the Latin boys took a straight with that. You can't make this shit up, man. So, you know, and then that leads us to this real quick. And I'm going from there to here. Because, brothers, I want y'all to understand something, man. When it comes to dealing with dating and things of that nature, y'all have to understand how, you know what. First of all, you have to understand your self-worth and what you should and shouldn't tolerate in regards to being dealt with out here. And, you know, this does not mean you hate women. Or you hate black women, but you need to, you shouldn't be dealing with a group of people that don't respect you. And so largely, if, you know, members of the sisterhood are showing you disrespect, then, you know, handle it accordingly, because there's no such thing as leading properly. You know, leading properly typically means leading by my direction or leading behind whatever I qualify as your skill set or what you should be doing. And basically that means you're not leading, you're following. So, and we live in a matriarchal society in the black community. So we need to understand that. But brothers, this is why I'm saying you need to, you know, this is why we need to start focusing more so on the things we need to do to build up ourselves and pretty much understand the gender dynamics in our community. Everybody's for themselves right now. And then everybody will be for themselves, but they'll depend on your utility. They'll depend on your availability. But you won't benefit. There'll be nothing to benefit you in the process. But, you know, it ain't like that for others, you know, when it comes time for sisters to deal with other men, like from other groups. Like, check this out real quick.
I just got back home from Long Island. Again, here we go. Facebook dating, thinking I'm gonna find a relationship or a boyfriend. No, I find a man that wants a dominatrix, that wants, all right, let's get into it. Meet the guy on Facebook, right? He's an older man. I said, let me try an older man again. Or let me just try an older man, right? He's Greek.
Now I want y'all to just... I want y'all to see what she tried to do. She tried to slide one past the goalie. All right. I'm going to slide back just a second. Just 2 seconds so y'all can hear what she tried to say again. Hold on.
Again. Or let me just try an older man, right? He's Greek.
He's Greek. All right. He's Greek. He's not black. He's Greek. All right. I just wanted y'all to hear that. All right. Because typically speaking, what'll happen is, black men will catch a stray for this one too. All right.
Live in Long Island. He worked for the government. Good job. Comes off real nice. Oh, I'm a very submissive man. I like my women to dominate me. Da 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 da. Me, in all actuality, I'm really submissive. I don't really like being dominant unless you push me to. But whatever. Went to his house. Nice big house in Long Island. Beautiful house.
And I don't believe that for a second. I haven't met too many New York women that are submissive. All right? I'm just going to put it like that. They might be sweethearts, but I haven't met too many submissive New York women. All right? Just putting it out there.
Get there. He makes me feel comfortable. The nigga got a foot fetish. Fine. Cool. No problem. So he pulls out the motherfucking stockings. So he's like... can you wear these for me? And I'm not going to lie, before I came here, I knew I was going to be wearing stockings and high heels because the nigga asked me for my shoe size. So I already knew all of that part. So he's like, yeah, I got a foot fetish. I just want to please your pretty.
Keep in mind, this is her first date with this guy. All right. Now, brothers, this is for all of y'all out there that are told that you can't do coffee dates because it's just below, you know, our women's standards. That you have to go to a restaurant and on the first date you have to spend about between $300 and $500 on the date. I want y'all to keep all that in mind for the fact that she, on a first date, went to this Greek man's home and already knew that there was going to be some freaky shit going on. He already asked her foot size and she knew she was going to be wearing stockings and stilettos and all this crazy shit. She went to his house on that, all right? Just.
He kept calling me mistress, whatever, and it was cool. I had my bottle of Don Julio. That's when I made that video talking about I was acting a foolio. That was that night. So anyway, we in the house. He got his drink. I got my drink. I'm in pantyhose. This nigga decides to tell me to put him in pantyhose. So we both in the house in pantyhose stockings, and then he's like. What the f- he's like, can he do a bump? So I'm like, he pulls out the booger sugar. Like, fine, that's what you want to do, Poppy, do you. I don't do that. Like, I stick to the liquor in the bud. You feel me? That's my flow. So the motherfucker is like, do I have permission to take a bump? Yeah, take the biggest bump.
I'll stick.
All right, and then shout out to J.I. Wisdom, who was about to jump on there. Listen, and this is what I consistently say, brothers. The standards that black women have for you are not the standards they have for other men. It's just not like that. And so, you know, you have to be real and you have to be, this is what I say, you have to maintain your standards. You have to maintain your dignity, and you have to operate in integrity, which means you can't allow somebody to dress you down, shame you, utilizing sign language, to dress you down and to get you to a point where you're going to move the way she understand. When a woman likes you, she don't, the rules, she breaks all the rules. The rules are for the man she don't like. All right. Now, you know, we're going to transition now to another part of the conversation. Cause I really want to get this in. I would have loved to spend more time on that part and I might come back to that in another show. But what I really want to talk about is this whole concept around deadbeat fathers, right? And you know how this particular these terms are used to damage the image of black men and black fathers, even though all the statistics that are generated, whether you're talking about the Pew studies, and whether you talk about, God damn it, I had it on the tip of my tongue. I don't know, I should have wrote that down. shit. But it's the center down there in Atlanta, that does all the diagnosis for, you know, do all the work behind, bacterial outbreaks and things of that nature. I'm sorry, I just can't for the life of me remember the name of that agency. But they've all done studies and they've shown that black men are the most egalitarian men, meaning the black men don't require total dominance or submission from the women. Black men basically want to work collaboratively. They want cooperation with the women in their lives. And so So I want y'all to check this out, right? So this is a father who went to go do to his daughter's graduation. And this is what happened.
So wait, should my daughter not walk on the stage because she don't want me here to see her graduate?
Because she said there's an order that says you're not supposed to be around.
Where's, do you see the order on file? Is there any order on file?
I don't have one, so therefore I cannot ask you to leave. Therefore I cannot ask you
anything about it because I don't have anything in writing.
So she took my daughter.
So she made the decision for her not to participate.
So now she's not walking the stage. She will not be graduating.
No, she is still being promoted, even though she will not participate in the ceremony. Does that mean she won't?
Wow.
But she made the decision for her not to participate.
That is crazy.
But I don't have anything in writing, and I tried to seek something in writing if there was something that existed. But I don't have anything, so I can't professionally, as a principal, action to leave a space or anything because there's nothing.
Because I'm on her birth certificate as well.
Exactly.
So I have every right to be here.
I explained to her that because you're on the birth certificate, you are given the information, the educational rights as a father.
Mm.
You can know what the ceremonies, you can do a grades, you can do attendance, you can come to school and have a parent conference, you can lunch with her. You have all those rights as a father because you're on the birth certificate.
Wow, that's crazy.
But she has made the decision that she will not participate today. So that is the reason why I'm sharing with you. But I do not have any court order or documentation that says you cannot be around the child.
And as this is playing, this is, and this typically happens, right? First of all, the man doesn't seem like he's a threat. He's being he's responding in a way. He's cordial in terms. He's disappointed, of course, but he's not acting out. He's not posing as a threat. And as he's having this conversation with the principal, who was just over-talking everything, there's another brother who's walking up. And I don't know why we always assume the role of security in these matters. But God damn it, man. Let the brother just have the conversation with this woman who's basically telling them without telling them they don't want him at the graduation. The daughter got pulled out, and so the father had to leave, right? No, well, the mother chose not to allow the father. Here's another situation and that got far more graphic, far more violent than the last one. All right, check this out.
Get up and leave, Myra. Get up and leave, Myra. Get up and leave, Myra. Leave. Because you're not supposed to be here.
No. No. No.
Just let him. Hey, you can't.
And the one thing I will say, I give the brothers credit on this one, because as she's going off, the first pop y'all heard was her smacking the gift. I think he had a gift for his daughter, her smacking the gift out of his hand and so forth. But the brother, he backed off. He really didn't press it too much, but he just told her to get out of his face. And then the other brothers, they pretty much surrounded him and they told him to wait until the cops get there. So now they're trying to get her out of the way because they build a barrier between her and him. So shout out to the brothers for that. But, she's trying to, be loud and aggressive and physically aggressive. And this is like I said before. Now you go back to the young lady who couldn't get hired, right? You go back to the young lady that couldn't get hired because she was aggressive, loud and aggressive on social media, thinking that there's no consequences. And the violence towards black men in the black community, for whatever reason, the women still feel as though there's no consequence to it. And this is why they feel comfortable bucking up and getting our faces. So I'm just going to let this play out. Now, at this time, she's sticking her fingers in the face of another man. She's like, yo, all right. and basically, she's sort of like, getting at them. It's just a nasty situation. This is what you call misandry. This is what you call hostility. This is what you call when somebody truly, truly has contempt for you. This is what contempt looks like on a day-to-day basis in our community.
Whoever got contempt, get them up out of here. Get them up out of here. I don't give a fuck. I got big mama. Big mama. Get up out of here. Get up out of here. Get up out of here.
Now, at this point, the father is just sitting in a chair. She's out there trying to swing on him, trying to go through other people. This is insane.
Let me go.
Now the cops are there. And the cops have her, and they're escorting her out of the yard. And that's all y'all really need to hear from that, because it seems like they went on with the ceremony. You could hear the families and the friends celebrating, the children walking across the stage or wherever it is. You never got to see the stage, right? And I bring all this up because, you know, I got a good brother of mine. You know, we're on Facebook together. And this brother had an interesting situation that occurred, too. And I want y'all to just hear his story real quick.
Yo, YouTube, Facebook, friends, and family. Today, June 12th, 2026, is my youngest daughter's graduation. My youngest child, she graduated from high school. So I come up here to celebrate her. Me and her mom don't get along. So it is what it is. Who gives a fuck, right? I come in, I get to the door. They don't let me in. They tell me I'm dangerous based on some shit their mom told them. I ain't been with their mom in over 13, 14 years, right? It's a weird shit. I came today with a fucking $1,000 bouquet of flowers. $1,000 in the bouquet. Not because I was trying to impress it, because that's what she told me from her brother. She said I want $1,000.
So right there, and my brother, his name is Darnell Diallo Thompson, right? And right there, that conversation, that point right there, that means him and his daughter had an amicable relationship at that point. All right? That means that she was able to tell her father what she wanted for her graduation, her high school graduation. She was able to tell her father what she wanted. And then he pulls up. Okay, babe, I'll be there. All right? So clearly shows that brother was active in his daughter's life.
So I elevated. I'm putting it in a bouquet. Time, effort, and energy to come and get rid of the bouquet. Now, me and my youngest daughter had a disagreement about some shit going on with her mom recently. So she had a little obstination towards me right now anyway, too. So it's going to be easy to convince their mom that I'm the monster. It is what it is. But she turned 18 this year. And she graduated high school today.
So my apologies, his youngest daughter. I thought it was older. Youngest daughter.
So the child support ends this year. Now, I've been paying child support for like 13, 14 years. But more importantly, I've been paying child support for my oldest daughter, who's 22, for the last 4 years. And she didn't go straight to college, because DCS created some type of environment where they manipulated me into paying more. And require me to go to court to prove otherwise. And my attorney told me, it don't make sense to go to the court and prove otherwise, because they're going to find a way to heighten your child support order for your youngest child because you recently married and your income has changed. She said, might as well just keep it the same. I did it. No problem. Meanwhile, my oldest daughter didn't receive a dime of the child support I've been receiving her, giving her for the last 4 years. And now I go in here to go to my graduation. And these people get me barred at the door. She come out to the door like she's in control of every motherfucking thing. The fuck? I said, you know what? Ain't no big deal. I'm gonna go on back home and chill. Keep my motherfucking $1,000 and telling people to kiss my ass. Peace, one love, all power to people. Moral of the story, don't let these motherfucking European and their motherfucking black woman counterparts deny you your motherfucking manhood. Man, stand on that shit. Fuck them all. Peace, one love, all powers of people. Yo.
And shout out to that brother, man, for standing on 10 toes down. And he has some follow-up videos, too, that I saw that where him and his current wife, they were just taking the bouquet apart, you know? And that was kind of like, it was... You know, that's a hard, way to that circumstance, to wait for that to end, you know. And it's hurtful, you know. We can't deny that. We can't dance or gloss around that, right? And in this circumstance or situation, like he said, he's there at the graduation. Had the conversation. Now the mother pulls up. Once again, in the black community, the mother's word is law. So even in places, municipalities, public spaces, she gets to dictate whether or not he gets to move anywhere on that chessboard. And I think that we really need to as brothers, these are some of the areas we need to regain our capacity and control, right? And sometimes, you know, when we're dealing with people, we don't always know. God forsaken, listen, I can tell you from my personal experience, things ain't always what they seem. But when brothers are trying to pull up, and brothers are trying to be a part of their children's lives, you know, that we really need to start documenting more of these experiences, because this spits in the face of that whole deadbeat dad narrative out there. Like, we don't talk about, it's like the NBA and NFL lockout, right? So that's the opposite of a strike. A strike is when the players say, you know, we're going to utilize this strike as our protest, our boycott of the sport until, you know, we get more favorable, options. A lockout is when the league itself tells the players they can't come in. We're going to shut the games down. You can't come into the locker room. You can't utilize the facilities. We're not going to have any football games, anything of that nature. Black men get locked out of their children's lives all the time. And because black men are the ops to everybody, this is why after every broadcast I say war and peace, because if you want peace, you better be willing to wage war for it. Black men, and this is why I'm fighting so hard. You know, it took me so long to realize what my purpose was in life. But as I got to this stage, you know, at the tender age of what I am right now, right? Brother who is in his 50s. One of the things I've begun to see is that black men need advocates too. And this is why I push so hard for brothers to not be apologetic, because typically speaking, brothers are expected to sacrifice their time, their skills, their energy, their labor, their utility, sacrifice the best years of their lives for people who are only concerned about what they can do for, what we can do for you. But there's, and I'm not saying there's not any good black women out there. I know a lot of good black women. All right. Like I said, I'm not an enemy of black women. I typically have real good relationships with older black women. You know, black women who are elders to me, black women who are, black women who I can confide in, or if I have questions about the way women think, I can typically have those conversations with them. But my age, like black women my age and under, for the most part, I don't, it's not, nah. Especially anybody I would be interested in dating. This is why brothers are choosing their peace. This is why the sister was asking earlier, why are the men hiding? Men ain't hiding, y'all just can't see us. And I've been warning black women about that for like the last 10 years. I said, yo, y'all going to keep this up, this misandry, this hatred of black men, this outward disdain for black men. Y'all going to keep all of this up, and eventually you're going to turn around and there'll be nobody for you to spit your hostilities to. There'll be nobody there to take the wrath, your wrath. There'll be nobody there for you to spew your wrath onto. The venomous fire, you know, fire-breathing dragon, you won't have any targets. They're all gone. And they're not hiding from you. They're just not making themselves available to you. And like, you know, shout out to the brothers that are still sticking in there. But I want to get into what we're talking about right now. Because with these brothers and what they're going through, there's something that this is, like I said, it goes back a long time. This is biblical. And that's why so I want to talk to y'all about a character in the Bible. Her name was Delilah, right? And I'm looking at an AI overview of the description of Delilah in the Bible. I didn't use my lip balm today, y'all, so I got dry. I'm kind of dry over here. All right. Pause. But, all right, check this out. So, Delilah, a prominent biblical figure, primarily symbolizes the archetype of a femme fatale, right? A seductive and cunning woman who uses her charm to manipulate and bring about the downfall of a powerful man. Rooted in the book of Judges, her name signifies delicate or she who weakens, highlighting the irony between her gentle name and her destructive influence. Now, if you remember, Delilah was the one that backdoored Samson. All right. The Philistines, Samson was a warrior and who had superhuman strength. He was a brother, right, in the Bible. And one of the things that he was at war with the Philistines, right? So he would just he would pull up and just start whooping everybody's ass. And so, you know, Delilah was seductive and so the Philistines paid Delilah to go in there and to figure out how can we short his strength? How can we rob this man of his strength? So she figured out that it was his uncut locks, his uncut hair, that was the foundation of his power. So one night she got him nice and drunk, sexed him out, and she cut off his hair. And at that time, the Philistines was able to come in the next morning and lock him up. He didn't have the strength to fight him off. And then they went as far as to blind him by branding his eyes. Yeah, they branded his eyes. To the point, and they made him a slave. And then one day his hair started growing back and he got his strength together. And then that's the day he went in and destroyed the whole, what do they call them back then? That was like a big ass cathedral, but he was able to dislodge the pillars and bring down the entire stadium. So, but let's get back to Delilah, right? Delilah was the first backdoor setup queen. All right. And that's what we're dealing with in our community right now. We have women that are not faithful to us. Majority. All right. Faithful to their opportunities. They're faithful to their emotions. They're faithful to advantageous situations. But many are not faithful to us as brothers. And therefore, what we deal with and what we consistently see happen is when they feel like they have the upper hand, then we get to see their true nature. And for a lot of sisters being in league and in partnership with the state is their upper hand. So with all the laws and policies put in place, and like I said, and go back to the plantations even, where on the plantations, the women still had more privileges than black men on the plantation, and some of them were put in powerful positions on the plantations amongst the slaves. And definitely in times in which the most powerful and the most aggressive brothers were moved off the plantations, a lot of the time the head of the black, the head of the black legions on the plantation, the servants were black women. And they maintained power and authority. That's why, you know, it was always Big Mama, Big Mama, Big Mama. And we have to really pay attention there, because the plantation got replaced with the state. And when the state was able to replicate or produce things that typically came from the patriarch in the home, when the state became the patriarch, black men became obsolete in those homes. Now, we got to keep in mind, during those times, especially when we're talking about post-construction, and we're talking about the Jim Crow era, we're talking even past the Civil Rights era, black men, you know, the brothers, unfortunately, that didn't get a chance to build, the brothers that were locked out with grandfather clauses, that couldn't vote, that couldn't buy houses, those brothers were locked up as vagrants. And that's when you begin to see the institution or the installation of the prison industrial complex. And a lot of those brothers were snatched up. And those brothers were put into a place where, you know, they became, once again, you know, I'll tell you, the 13th Amendment. 13th Amendment didn't end slavery. The 13th Amendment federalized slavery for the entire country, not just for the southern states or the Confederate states. All right. And all, I mean, shit, some Union states still had slaves. In Kentucky and Tennessee. So what I'm saying is, brothers, man, you know, we have to, this is our time to open our eyes and not consistently be naive to the lures of the seduction that take place when it's putting us in a situation or circumstance where we're not able to properly, you know, operate out here in the world, where we're consistently working behind the gun, where we're not able to operate in our full purpose. That's why I always tell brothers, you know, your ambition in life, your goal in life, it should be to fulfill your purpose. And a woman should never be your purpose. You know, she should be part of what's helping you achieve your purpose, but she should never be your purpose. If you make a woman your purpose, then she's leading you by the nose. And then you become discardable whenever you're no longer of any service to her. So, you know, and I'm not a dating expert. I'm more so looking at this from a cultural lens. You know, some things are just common sense. When you remove, you know, your hormones from it, you know what I'm saying? And the older you get, the easier that becomes. And the rationale starts kicking in. But, you know, for the brothers that are out there trying to, you know, make a life with their children, things of that nature, and for future brothers, because what we are right now are cautionary tales. We need to make sure we pass this information down, because a lot of times we just leave young brothers to figure the shit out on their own. We need to become genuine to them and teach them the ropes and the rules and the regulations of how society truly works and how discardable they really are. And we also need to teach them the responsibility of their seed and maintaining their seed. Because too many situations and circumstances out here are burning young brothers. And they're ruining their lives. Because now they're also trapped in a lifetime situation with somebody who they don't get along with. And by virtue of how they move and by virtue of their relationship with the state, their partnership with the state, they will team up to destroy you, black man. They will team up to destroy you. Now, is this all women? No, but I don't believe in giving qualifiers when we're talking about a particular subject or issue. God knows we don't receive qualifiers. So, with that said, family, ran into a bunch of obstacles myself when I was trying to put this out. But anyway, take care of yourselves, brothers. You know, keep your faith and keep your strength. Keep your head on the swivel, because it can come from any direction at any time. You don't know who you can trust in this world. But most of all, remember, war and peace. Because if you want peace, you better be willing to wage war for it. And with that, I am out of here.